Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. We don't know yet the details of why. We know why Kyle Flood was suspended for three games. That part we do know. Impermissible contact with a professor. Dealing with grades and a football player. But he has been suspended for three games. What we don't know is who's going to coach the team. Because Rutgers has not said yet, has not even announced yet he's been suspended. But NJ.com found out he was suspended for three games and fined $50,000. This is part of the universe that has nothing to do with the players arrested. Zero. This has to do with a university-led investigation into rules violations where it is alleged that he either emailed or called a professor about grades involving a football player that was hovering around the line. University President Robert Barchi told NJ Advanced Media that they're going to suspend him, but he hasn't told the players yet. So the players have not been notified. Right. Who's running this operation?
That's what I was just going to ask you. How in the world do you not tell your team, players, and everybody else before you let the information get out?
I mean, you're telling the media that you're suspending him, but you haven't told the players yet? They say the suspension is the result of a very detailed, extensive investigation that, quote, we carried out over the past several weeks regarding the allegation that the football coach had an inappropriate contact with a faculty member who was the instructor of one of the football players, a contact that is a violation of university policy. That's what it's about. That's what this is in response to. They let the guy do the press conference on Monday. They let the guy do the Big Ten media conference on Tuesday, and on Wednesday they suspend him. So, he's evidently he's out of this game as the head coach on Saturday night. They've already had seven players arrested. Six were kicked off the team the past 2 weeks as a result of arrests. They've had Dre Boggs and fullback Lloyd Terry have been charged with home invasions. Four other players, Nadir Barnwell, who, by the way, is the subject of the grade situation, is also out, along with cornerback Ruan Peel, safety DeLon Stevenson, and fullback Razan Gross, because they face assault charges. And then Leonte Carew was then suspended indefinitely as a result of the incident that took place Saturday night, where it is alleged he picked up his girlfriend and dropped her to the concrete, injuring her hip, her elbow, and her head. Carew, by the way, has pleaded not guilty. He did so today. So, the university policy at Rutgers is as follows. All contact with faculty members or instructional staff, if necessary, should be handled by the academic support staff and doesn't permit coach-initiated contact of any type, oral, written, etc., between any member of the coaching staff and any Rutgers faculty member or associated instructional staff, teaching assistant, co-adjunct, part-time lecturer, etc., with respect to any student athlete. It dictates that staff members, including coaches, must strictly abide by the policy and must make prudent judgments regarding their level of involvement in a student-athlete's academic life so as to avoid even the appearance of impropriety. Now, it's very straightforward. Yeah, I don't know how much more straightforward the policy can be.
Not much room for interpretation.
No, I mean, it's very straightforward. Now, it doesn't say, for example, you know, if you get suspended for a game, you get fined. Now, that part's not in there. But what you have here is a situation now on a Wednesday where it sounds like they've already practiced today.
Yes, 11:55, he was seen after practice, according to the report.
So they practiced this morning. They only have one more practice to go. That's tomorrow. And tomorrow is a non-contact practice in all likelihood. I mean, I doubt they'll have any contact on Thursday. They'll probably do a walkthrough on Friday, and that's it. Now, it's not as if I've never seen a situation like this happen before where an interim coach takes over on a Thursday. I've obviously lived it. You have to have somebody very smart and very organized that has to take care of this. But he has been suspended for 3 games. The university, what's interesting is that the football program has not announced that he's been suspended, but the university president has said it. I mean, that's what's so bizarre about this.
Well, hang on. Now, boy, I'll tell you what. And there's, like you said, there's so much information flying out there, and Rutgers has no handle on it right now at all.
Zero. No, they have none.
Zero.
I mean, it's one thing. Okay, it's one thing, for example. Look, the university president is the university president, okay? So on the food chain, that's number one, okay? I think we all get that part, right? Okay? We all understand that. So if he wants to announce it, he can announce it. But you have to be smart about what you're doing here. It's a high-profile situation. You just don't go off the reservation to do something like this, which evidently they have. So now you have no idea what's going on.
Steve, here's what we have from the New York Daily News. The coach faced suspension or being fired if he found he had gone against institutional policy. Here's the quote from the university president.
Right.
According to NJ Advanced
Media.
That's
out there.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I just used.
Yeah, this suspension is a result of the extensive investigation. So it's actually talking about the president is talking about the suspension and investigation, but nobody else is.
Well, again, he's the president.
Well, I understand.
So he's the one that has to announce it. I mean, that's fine. But do it in such a way where you've got yourself out ahead of the story instead of, look, there's common sense here. Okay? If you're going to suspend him, you go over to the football building, you talk with him, and then in front of the team, you tell them. Then you put the story out there. I mean, they have lost complete handle on any news cycle in this at all. I don't know. Norris Wilson, by the way, you talked about him. He's actually the running back coach, but he's also the associate head coach.
Right.
Even though he is not a coordinator, he is not one of the coordinators. Okay? Now, it might be preferred by Kyle Flood to have the associate head coach run the team, thus taking on the head coach responsibility while allowing the coordinators to just do their deal instead of having to take on additional responsibility as the head coach.
If the head coach, head coach suspended, does he get to choose who fills in for him during the suspension?
Yes.
Or does the administration do that?
No, he does.
Okay.
Yeah, he gets it. He gets, if he's suspended, but it doesn't. What do you look at the athletic director looks over and says, I think I know who the better choice
I think I know there. Somebody better.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry. We're not going to. It's your staff. I think you know how you want to do things. So. Now, he could have been terminated, as you pointed out. And they elected to suspend him for 3 games, which is a quarter of the season. It includes the Penn State and Michigan State games. So that includes not only a quarter of the season, but it includes one quarter of your Big Ten regular season. Every day, something different. It's a 22-page report on him. Which, by the way, includes the cover page. The State University of New Jersey. Okay, they say who they retained. I could care less. And the law firm, blah, blah, blah. Kyle Flood, faculty member, blah, blah, blah. In the course of our investigation, we were asked to determine whether Coach Flood's alleged conduct violated the university code, whether Coach Flood's assistance to the student in connection with a paper the student submitted to the faculty member violated the university's academic integrity policy. So here are the conclusions that they reach. First, something about Rutgers policy here. Who cares about that?
Obviously no one, the way all this sounds.
Well, okay. So they establish what the policy is. Second, that Coach Flood knew or should have known about the policy as a result of the posting of the policy on the Department of Collegiate Athletics website. Okay. They said here's the key right here. Here's the key. Coach Flood had repeated contact. See, it's not one. Remember what I said about the repeated part? Coach Flood had repeated contact by email and in-person meeting with a faculty member regarding a student athlete's ineligibility because of academic performance and his effort to have the faculty member afford the student an opportunity to, and then they've redacted it, complete an additional assignment in order to make the student eligible for the 2015 season. Fourth, by engaging in repeated direct contacts with the faculty member, Coach Flood circumvented the responsibilities of academic support, which oversees the academic program for all student athletes. Fifth, as a result of the above, Coach Flood's contact with a faculty member violated the university's policy prohibiting direct contact by a coach with a faculty member regarding a student's academic performance. It also appears that Coach Flood's contact with a faculty member potentially violated the university ethics policy, which generally prohibits a university faculty or staff member by using his position at the university to secure unwarranted privileges or advantages for himself and others. Finally, we have concluded that no violation of the university academic policy occurred when Coach Flood assisted the student with grammatical and punctuation changes in the paper the student submitted to the faculty member, because that type of assistance is generally available to other students through the university's learning center. That's correct. There's a lot of findings here that are redacted, including the name of the student. We all know it's Nadir Barnwell. Next, move on. We're not idiots. So they go through. So I've given you the principal findings as to what they found. It says here that on April 7th, the academic advisor sent a follow-up email to Coach Flood and other coaches regarding an additional incident with the student. May 18th, final grades were posted. May 18th, the student met with the academic advisor to discuss his ineligibility, and then they decided the student should send an email to the professor. May 18th, the student emailed the professor, informed the professor he was ineligible for next season, and asked if there was a way for him to work something out. He asked the professor to email him or his advisor back. Later on that same day, May 18th, the professor did respond to the student's email with a copy of the to the academic advisor and the chair of the professor's department. In the email, the professor stated, "I'm very sorry that your grade will cause problems for you. However, I cannot change your grade." In the email, the professor included a screenshot reflecting the various grades the student had received during coursework. Somebody made sure that they were covered here very carefully. Still later on May 18th, an academic advisor forwarded the professor's email to two other academic advisors. The second academic advisor met with Coach Flood, advised them that the student would not be eligible to play football. They both agreed that this was a lousy situation, that the publicity was going to be difficult because the student was considered a top recruit. May 21st, and then it starts going through dates, everything like that. Greg Pickle, PennLive.com. Hi, Greg, how are you?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
Well, this is different.
You know,
the Kyle Flood situation, we've been reading the report here. There are multiple incidents where he contacts this professor. And I think that's what it comes down to. It's not one, it's multiple.
Yeah, you know, Steve, this is a really interesting report. I'm just getting through it myself. You know, obviously one of the statements of fact in this report that's catching a lot of steam right now is the fact that he wrote to the professor that he was using his personal account so there'd be no public vetting of the correspondence between the two. Obviously, that backfired on him. And, yeah, I mean, there were multiple correspondence with this professor. The player in question, Nadir Barnwell, made multiple correspondences with the professor in question. So, yeah, there's obviously not a lot of good things going on here, and Kyle Flood won't coach Saturday against Penn State.
Right, exactly. Now, here's the email that he wrote on July 26th from his personal account. "I hope that you're having a great summer. I'm forwarding you a letter I wanted to compose to you. I'm sending it, as you said, Greg, from my personal email to your personal email to ensure that no public vetting of the correspondence. I want you to know that I have read the email you sent on May 18th. And that if this is the final decision, I am in full support of that decision." Okay. Now, he's not supposed to contact the professor, but you and I would agree that statement is fine. "If there's any work, though, that can be done to earn a grade change, I am willing to have it done during the football season. I believe the student has owned the situation. I have advised him to expect no further opportunities in this class." That's the email he sent. And then they have the email that was sent back. I mean, this is one crazy roller coaster where you've got seven players arrested in 7 days or in 11 days, and now you have the coach suspended for something completely different.
Yeah, you know, it's certainly a mess at Rutgers right now, to put it lightly. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of this is an off-field, you know, situations, of course. Kyle Flood's is off-field. You know, the players that were suspended, of course, for an incident dating back to April didn't have anything to do with football. And Leonte Carew's incident doesn't appear to have anything to do with football. He was suspended Sunday, the leading receiver for Rutgers, and, of course, has since been arrested and charged. But there's obviously a lot of football impacts to this. You know, they haven't named an interim head coach yet. I think Norris Wilson, who recruits Pennsylvania for them, probably has a good chance to be that guy. He's sort of a veteran coach on that staff. But there's a lot going on here, of course. And, you know, how this affects Rutgers on the field Saturday, I don't know. But clearly there's a lot more at play than just a trip to Penn State this Saturday.
No question. And Norris Wilson's the associate head coach. And if he were to be the interim head coach for the next three games, there'd be some logic to it, Greg, because it would then take that off the plate of the coordinators and allow them just to do their job.
Yeah, and I think that makes the most sense. I mean, I think that that's what they'll end up doing. It's sort of interesting to me that they haven't released that information. I suppose it doesn't really matter, but at the same time,
athletic department hasn't released any information. They haven't. Athletic department hasn't even posted he's suspended yet.
Right. Yeah, they. It's certainly interesting.
How far behind are they here?
It certainly makes one wonder, you know, what kind of connection, you know, what kind of communication that there is between the president's office and the athletic department on this matter. But yeah, it certainly is odd the way this has all played out. You know, certainly Kyle Flood's actions have been strange. You know, if you read this report, he was told on more than one occasion that the contact he was having with the professor, both via email, on the phone, and in person, was prohibited, and yet he continued doing it anyway. So clearly, you know, he either didn't get the message or didn't want to get the message in this situation, and it cost him 3 games.
And on top of that, you mentioned the meeting. He met with him August 5th in front of the Princeton Public Library at 5:45 in the evening. Now, this is right at the beginning of training camp, Greg. Again, seeing if there was extra work that could be done. It's like, you have to be kidding me.
Yeah, and, you know, I believe there's a passage in here, I cannot find it specifically, but he said something to the effect in one of the emails that, you know, I won't be wearing any Rutgers clothing, so I'm not as easy to identify. You know, it's one misstep after another, and eventually, you know, it became pretty clear that, you know, at one point, the sort of curiosity about this investigation was, well, it seems to be over simply one email, because this thing has drug on for, you know, a lot longer than you would think it would have. And it seemed that, on the outside anyway, that this was over one email, so how could it take so long? But as we've learned today, there was a lot to gather in this instance, because it wasn't just email. It was a multitude of conversations and communications that shouldn't have been taking place. And therefore, that's why Rutgers, you know, the outside firm, reached the conclusion it did that Rutgers accepted today.
Yeah, and they suspended him for 3 games. Hey, Greg, we have to hit the bottom of the hour in a break, but thanks for calling in. We appreciate it very much. As always, your perspective is valuable.
All right, Steve. Talk to you soon. Have a good one.
Thanks, Greg. Greg Pickle from PennLive.com, Patriot News, bottom of the hour. News coming up in a few moments here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles. There should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. We're in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kyle Flood suspended for 3 games and fined $50,000 by Rutgers for multiple contacts. I've read the report. He emailed him, he called him, he met with him. All trying to get Nadir Barnwell back academically eligible. Barnwell ended up getting suspended anyway because it's alleged he's involved in those armed robberies. So, all right. Does it matter to me whether he coaches the game in terms of the game itself? No, it really doesn't. Norris Wilson, from what we understand, is going to be the interim head coach. He is the associate head coach. It makes sense. You take the associate head coach, you make him the interim head coach, and allow the coordinators to continue to coordinate. I think that's one of the reasons why you don't pick a coordinator to do this. It is not the first time Penn State's ever faced this situation. Morris Watts got fired at Michigan State. And they had an interim coach for that game. Penn State played Texas A&M in the bowl game. Mike Sherman was fired. Gary Darnell coached the game. So, I mean, these are games that I've done where an interim head coach has been named. In fact, I think it was the other way around. Bobby Williams got fired, and Morris Watts coached the Michigan State game. That's how that worked out. And then Mike Sherman, Mike now, by the way, who was a consultant here last year, got the good chance to really know Mike. Like Mike a lot. He's now, you know what Mike's a head coach of now? Nauset Regional High School in Cape Cod. Mike has a home in Dennis on Cape Cod, so it worked out perfectly for him.
There's only so one. Like, I was just
so this this so this case here is going to be the only time it's ever going to come into play. Really, let's be realistic here. It's fourth of the yard and half, and somebody's going to make a decision. That's where it comes into play.
Well, but see, this there's only one difference between this and all the other ones you were talking about. There actually was an interim head coach announced. Here, there hasn't been.
Right, they will. I mean, they will.
Right.
I know. They know. They know what they're doing. It's just the bizarre thing is Rutgers hasn't announced it.
No, and there's nothing on their site with any sort of a release from the president. Or only NJ.com, which is a sister of PennLive.com, actually has comments from the president.
From the president.
But that's it.
Right. Well, exactly. Now, if you go to the Rutgers website, yeah, they tell you that Jadarian Grant is the Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week. That there's the release on Penn State this week. Knights in the NFL. Oh, and by the way, Kyle Flood, September 14th press conference. That's what's on the website. Rutgers head coach Kyle Flood met with the media Monday afternoon. The Scarlet Knights take on Penn State Saturday at 8. That's what's on their website right now. The story's been out now for almost an hour.
Asked if Al Flood accepted the suspension, the president said, "I think Kyle accepted it fully. I think he's been fully cooperative. I think he's devastated by what he feels is a loss of trust in him or the feeling that people may think differently about his own ethics or morals."
Right. Well,
that's the only statement regarding you know,
right,
anything other than a suspension. And, you know, there's nothing in any of the statements officially saying next three games. The word next is not in any of this.
It says he's been suspended for three games.
Not next, right, the now, next three games, just three games.
Right, and the thought process is one of them is Penn State on Saturday.
You would assume so.
But they haven't said that yet either. But I don't see how you suspend him and say, oh, by the way, it's going to start with the Kansas game. You would think that something like this, especially when the report comes out, is immediate. So, again, it doesn't come into play to me. It comes into play in only a couple of ways. One is the shock of it. You know, you don't have your head coach. You never know. It could be a motivator. You don't know. And the other part is it's fourth of the yard and a half, and it's not Kyle Flood making that decision. It's Norris Wilson making the decision. That's, to me, where it comes into play. The coordinators really will handle the rest of the game. You know, you look at and Norris Wilson is the running back's coach. He's the associate coach and the running back coach. He'll handle whether it's Hicks in the game, Martin in the game, or Paul James in the game. The defensive line coach is going to handle who happens to be in the game personnel-wise for them. The coordinator will determine whether it's a three-man front or a four-man front. The basics are going to be this. Expect Rutgers to play cover two all night. That's a young secondary because of the suspensions. They played nothing. I watched the tape. They played nothing but cover two against Washington State. Nothing but. That's all they played was cover two. So that's what Penn State should expect. Now, and the linebackers coach will be in charge of the linebacker happens to be. The offensive coordinator will call the plays on offense. So all that part stays the same, except when it comes down to that, hey, it's fourth and a yard and a half. Should we go for it? That won't be Kyle Flood's decision to go for it. Say you want to run a fake on something. It won't be Kyle Flood's decision to say, yeah, let's run the fake we've been working on all week here. mean, that's where it comes into play.
See, to me, I think the bigger issue is all the problems that have surrounded the program this year and all the issues coming out recently are the players.
This year?
Well.
Oh.
I think, that, no, I'm the players' mindset coming into this game. It's got to be difficult to focus on the football game no matter how hard you try. And now you find out your head coach isn't going to be on the sideline. It's like, okay, well, who do I report to now for this, this, and this?
Well, that's that. The usually something like this, the coach is the rallying point when you do that us versus them mentality. Well, now he's not the rallying point.
Right.
I don't know. You know what? But in the end, it doesn't matter. Penn State needs to win the game. I don't care who's coaching it. I don't care who's playing it. Yeah, I mean, you know me. It's like, okay, not playing. Who's the suspensions to me, all right, from a football point of view, from a total football point of view, are, okay, not playing like you're not, like a guy's injured and can't play. So who's replacing them? So from a football perspective, to me, it's who's replacing them. Now, from a personal point of view, you obviously want to know, you know, what did they do? Who did they harm? You know, is it true, not true? And you're on the outside looking in. You have to be smart about this. Don't convict people until it's proven that they're guilty. You just can't do that. Jumping to conclusions, despite how detailed any police report is not smart in today's society. And if you jump to conclusions and just take and then go from there, you make big mistakes. But from a football point of view, I've got to look at it as, okay, those are seven players who are out, just like Darius Hamilton, the defensive tackle, is out with an injury. Now, you don't look at those guys as being injured, but they're out.
Well, it changes the complexion of the team.
Yeah. Now, this will be the third game, though, they've been without some of these guys. Now, for Carew, it's the first game they've been without him. He's the one guy that's new here. The other two games, they have played the two games without the suspended players. So they had six guys suspended, and they missed the first two games anyway. And the seventh was suspended this week. So this, and the seventh one suspended changes a lot of things. He is their top offensive player. And that changes a lot of things for them. And you don't have the most experienced of quarterbacks, although Laviano did do a good job last year when they went to Nebraska and played. So, but there's no other way to look at it, to me. I mean, if, from a football point of view, it's who's there and who's not, right? And it's a question of looking at who's not and saying who's replacing them. And I think that's, you know, from a and you have to take this from a football point of view. I mean, you really do, because the bottom line is that, you know, I talk about taking things from a football point of view. I'm on the outside looking in. I don't know the details of anything else going on. So I just have to put down who's going to play and who's not going to play. That's what I've always said, and I started this out with Ryan Dunleavy. I said, I've always told my class, news people shouldn't cover sports, and sports people shouldn't cover news. For example, if we're going to cover something, it would be wrong of the station, for example, to send me to the Northumberland County Courthouse to cover something in a case where I have no feel for what's going on around there. You send Jennifer Wakeman over, or Allie, or Matt, or Mark Lawrence. Okay, they've got a feel for it. You know, Jen probably more than anybody else. But, you know, you send me over, I have no feel for it. Zero. Now you send them over to do what I do? Oh, well, that's a completely different thing. Because that I do have a feel for. So this is a case where you're looking at a situation here, again, legally, and also what the university is doing. What kind of field do we have for this? Not great, but we do know that they aren't going to play, and we do know that he's not going to coach. We will come back, wrap things up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, I'll say this about Rutgers football. It's not dull.
By the way, the ScarletKnights.com watch, still nothing.
It is our understanding that Kyle Flood will be is suspended three games. It'll be the Penn State game, the Kansas game, the Michigan State game. That he has been fined $50,000. That the 22-page report came out, which we've read here on the air. And here's the other part, too. I believe that Flood at one point said he only had a contact and maintained that he had a contact with the professor. And I said 2 weeks ago, if he had a contact, okay, maybe he'll make it, he'll be fine. But I said if he had multiple contacts, then he's got deep trouble. Well, what does this report say? Hey, he's contacting him all over the place, in front of the library, calling up, emailing him, using his private email account, whatever. I mean, it's not a contact. It's multiple contacts, including a face-to-face meeting. So that's the issue. And Rutgers hasn't announced it yet, but he is not going to coach Saturday night's game. He's been fined $50,000. He'll also miss the Kansas game, the Michigan State game, and we are expecting that it will be Norris Wilson, who's the associate head coach and running back coach, that will be the interim head coach, which would then allow the coordinators just to be coordinators and not have to take on the additional responsibility of being head coach.
And Steve, Keith Sargent from NJ.com and New Jersey, or NJ Advanced Media for NJ.com, to be correct, to credit this correctly. They actually had someone speaking with the president 15 minutes after notifying Flood of the suspension, and the suspension is effective immediately. That's the first time we've heard that.
Okay. Please, okay, but why are you speaking with the media 15 minutes after announcing this and not telling the team?
Well, and then Barchi said right after that, said the players had not yet been notified.
I mean, why?
Well, they realize that we live in a social media culture where you can send one tweet out and everyone in the world gets it in 3.2 seconds.
Right, exactly. But you call a team meeting, you drive over there, and you tell them what the deal is. Right? If the student athletes are that important to you, they deserve at least that kind of respect, don't they? They didn't do anything wrong. Why do they have to find out from social media or from a website? They can't even find out from their own website. This is example 101 of not how to handle things. Now, the report, you know, the investigative report coming out with it, the whole deal, completely understand that. But if you're going to do this, right, inform him, tell the team, then hold a press conference and explain, here's the report, and this is what's alleged, and this is why we're doing it. Okay. I mean, maybe I come from too simple a world. I have no idea.
I just can't believe that there's been no other comment except to a reporter from one particular news organization.
Right.
And that's the only official word you have.
Well, I can't believe he talked to him and didn't inform the team. Especially if all this came down right after practice. It's not as, you know, I mean, I'm sure they got classes, but I'm sure there's a little bit of a pad built in there before they have to go to class. Well, regardless, he's suspended for 3 games. It is effective immediately. When they go to practice tomorrow to do their non-contact Thursday deal, and, you know, look, 9.9 practices in America out of 10 on Thursday before a Saturday game are non-contact. They aren't walkthroughs. They are not walkthroughs. But you're also not wearing pads either. He'll be, in all likelihood, Norris Wilson, the associate head coach and running backs coach, who will run the team and just let the coordinators coordinate. So,
should be an interesting bus ride.
Yeah, I don't know if they're bussing or if they're flying.
I was just guessing about a bus ride, but it could be a flight.
Oh, no, they may be bussing. I'm trying to think last year.
I think with after all this would go through, I think I'd want to make sure I blew them out instead of giving them more time to think.
Yeah, Penn State bussed there last year and flew back.
Yep, I think I would want them. I think I'd want my players flying out, flying back, less time to think, better.
Well, look, Penn State cannot worry about this at all.
Nope.
They've got to take care of their business on this particular night and move on. Now, what the other guy's problem happens to be is the other guy's problem. Talk to you tomorrow, including our high school roundtable preview, to get you ready for the big games on Friday, including Shikellamy at Sealands Grove.